great to be here, and we've been excited about coming. Right now it's 11:30 where I live, so you can tell that I've been up a while, but we're looking forward to God coming down and being with us in this convention. Brother Elms leaned over and said, Brother Price is going to introduce you. And I said, well, in Fresno, I could probably introduce him. In fact, there for a while, I think the folks wondered who preached the most here, me or Brother Morton. But I've never got to preach in this church. This is so beautiful. Last time I saw it, there wasn't any walls in here. It was just a shell. But it is so pretty. In fact, it is prettier than pretty. It is plumb pretty. Hallelujah. It's beautiful. And it's great to be back in Fresno, good to be in the California district. And Brother Price was talking about the tape ministry. Sometime that thing bugs preachers. But if you happen to have a tape of something I preach, well, that's your tough luck. Some time ago, it was rather humorous. We had a family visit our church. They used to be out here in California. I'm trying to think of the name of the town, but I can't remember. Brother and Sister Starr. And they visited our church, and so after they had visited our church, we went and visited them. I don't think anybody ought to visit one of our churches unless we go visit them. Well, I don't think so. I don't know what y'all think, but I think if they come see us, we ought to go see them. So we went to visit with them, and in the course of conversation, I don't know, we got to talking about sermons, and something was mentioned about a sermon that Brother Harris had heard me preach one time on the Lone Ranger. That's my depth, you know, Lone Ranger, Cinderella, and stuff like that. And she said, you know, I heard a preacher one time in California that used the Lone Ranger as an illustration in a sermon. She said, I think it was a Brother Johnson. And then she had the strangest look come on her face. And she said, Johnson, your name is Johnson. I said, yes, ma'am, that's my sermon. And I thought she was going to hug my neck. But she's made a good member in the church, and I guess it all started with a tape. But it's just exciting in these days to work for God. It really is. This is one of the most exciting days that I have ever known. We were in the restaurant this afternoon. We got in late and run by to get a bite to eat. And there was a man and his wife that were sitting at another table, and she came by and said, are y'all preachers? And I said, yes. And so we got to talking, and he wasn't of our faith. I not our denomination, and I was hoping they'd be here tonight. They promised they would if they could. But we got to talking, and he wanted to know a little bit about this United Pentecostal Church. And would you believe in less than 2 minutes we was on the Godhead? In less than 2 minutes we was on the Godhead. Hallelujah to God. And he said, I want to know more about that. So, Brother Martin, wherever you are, I give him your name and address and stick him on you. Hallelujah. But these are exciting days to work for God. And I want us to just open our hearts and see what the Lord wants to do for us. I believe he wants to do something. And I want whatever he wants for us to have. Praise God. Hit me the key of 4 flats. Tomorrow. Isn't it tomorrow we're going on a honeymoon? I've only gone on one honeymoon in my life, and I had my wife with me then. Going on one tomorrow and don't even have my wife. So we'll just all go together. Hallelujah. There has to be a ladies' auxiliary to come up with a program like that. Of course, you folks who didn't know it, I'm almost the official ladies' auxiliary preacher in California. Once again, I faced Satan this morning, and I battled him all the day long. But in my weakness, he sends reinforcements, and at sundown, I sing victory's song. Well, the sun's coming up in the morning. Every tear will be gone from my eyes. This old clay's gonna give way to glory, and like an eagle, I'll take to the sky. Oh, the sun's coming up in the morning. Every tear will be gone from my eyes. This old clay's gonna give way to glory, and like an eagle, I'll take to the sky. Once again, I face Satan this morning, and I battled him all the day long. But in my weakness, God sends reinforcement, and at sundown, I'm gonna sing victory's song. The sun's coming up in the morning. Every tear will be gone from my eyes. And this old clay's gonna give way to glory. And like an eagle, I'll take to the sky. In a world filled with doubts and confusion, it's so hard when you don't understand. But I'm standing on a solid foundation, and I'll hold to God's unchained in hand.
the morning. Every tear will be gone from my eyes. This old place gonna give way to glory. And like an eagle, I'll take to the sky. And like an eagle, I'll take to the sky. And like an eagle, I'll take to the sky.
Hallelujah to God. You may open your Bible to James chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. I guess since this is a Sunday school convention, we can have a Bible lesson. And they give me the service at about 8:30. That's earlier than you usually get it in these special meetings. So that gives me more time to teach a Bible lesson. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. A man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. I want to talk to you for a while tonight on something that I feel that God gave me some time ago. I was reading a book, and the Lord began to deal with my heart on just a little simple thought that I want to share with y'all for an hour or so tonight. On learning to use your faith. Learning to use your faith. Hallelujah. You going to help me preach tonight? Hallelujah. Sister Gazowski, give your folks a nod and say, get with him and help him preach tonight. All right. Hallelujah. Preached for her some time ago, and I'm telling you, they like to preach me to death. You may be seated. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Now, for just a couple of 3 minutes, I want to engage in one of my favorite pastimes, and that is exposing a liar. I can't stand liars. Slap me in the face, spit on me, cuss me, or anything, but don't lie to me. I can't stand a liar. I just can't take it. And if I catch one, I like to expose him. And I'm going to attack the daddy of all liars tonight, and that's the devil. The first lie that the devil tells you is that you do not have faith. Now, he's a liar. I never did know what it meant, but I was raised in Louisiana. And there was something worse than a liar in Louisiana, and I don't know where it come from. But we called it a pine black liar. I don't know what made that any worse than the rest of them, but boy, you could call somebody a liar, but when you called them a pine black liar, that was tough. But when the devil comes to you and tells you that you don't have faith, you just tell him that Brother Johnson said he's a liar.
Hallelujah. And when you finally convince the devil that you do have faith, the next lie he'll tell you is that you do not have enough faith. And that's a lie. Because you have all the faith that you need. And you have more than you'll ever use. Did you know that when you came into this world, you had all the eyes that you will ever have? Glory. Now, I'm not in any hurry. I'm just going to take my time. I'm a little older than I was when you saw me last, and they say you slow down with age. But I want to get this over to you tonight. You have all the eyes that you'll ever have. When you came into this world, you had all the arms and hands that you'll ever have. Now, I know you may get one cut off or something and get you an artificial one, but you had all you can have. Did you know that you had all the bones that you'll ever have? Amen. Glory. I understand that you have all the muscles that you'll ever have. Glory. The only difference in you now and when you came in the world is that you have developed and cultivated and exercised the things that you came into the world with. And that's why you are as big as you are tonight, as strong as you are tonight, as intelligent as you are tonight, is because that you have developed that you were born with. I want you to know, my friend, when you were born into the kingdom of God, you came with enough faith, all that you'll ever need. You just need to learn to develop and to use the faith that you've got. Hallelujah. Of course, you all know me, or a lot of you do. When you first saw me, I was walking with a cane. Crippled up, bad shape. Thank God, it's different now. But I'll never forget. Back in 1960, when I first started using a cane, my left leg was real bad. And so I got to where I couldn't walk anymore. So I went down to the store, drug store, and I bought me a cane. I can't understand the church that don't have a cane. Let me borrow that. It's a little better cane than that other one was. All right, this is good right here. My left leg was bad, and I went to the drugstore and bought me a cane. So I put it in my left hand, and I tried to walk with it. And it was a mess. It just didn't do much good. So I finally wound up in the office of a therapist. And she said, "Let me see you walk." I said, "Well, I can't hardly walk." She said, "You got a cane." I said, "Yeah, but it don't help very much." So she said, "Walk with it." So I took off, Brother Price. Trying to walk on the cane. She said, "You're using it wrong." of using it, right? I mean, it's got the crook on this end, and that's... And it's got the point with the rubber tip on that end, and I'd sure hate to turn it over and use it that way, you know, because it slipped out from under me. She said, "You're using it the wrong hand." I said, "No, ma'am, it's my left leg that's bad, and I'm trying to help my left leg." She said, "It's wrong. Put it in your right hand." "But, ma'am, it's my left leg." You know, women just don't understand some things. I thought everything was wrong. But the only thing that was wrong was I didn't know how to use it. And so I put that thing over in my right hand. And I said, "Well, now, how'd you do it?" She said, "Put your bad leg out, put the cane down at the same time." Like this? Yeah. "Now, put part of the weight on the cane and part on the bad leg." And I did that. Hey. That's better. Feels a lot better when you do it that way. You see, I thought something was wrong with the cane. Something was wrong with everything. But the only thing that was wrong was I just didn't know how to use what I had. There's nothing wrong with your faith. I said, "There's nothing wrong with your faith." Hallelujah to God. Maybe you just haven't learned to use it yet. Hallelujah. And I ask the Lord to help me tonight. What should I preach on the first night of the convention? And it seemed like the Holy Ghost just moved and said, "Tell them how to use their faith in God." Glory to God. Hallelujah. You see, faith is given to you to use. And if you don't use it, it gets dead. Glory. Oh, I'm a feeling it coming on. I'm getting rested by the minute. Praise God. The first thing, and I'm trying to show you some things now that will make your faith usable. Number one, if you want to outline this, I'll give it to you in perfect outline. In fact, I'll even let you borrow mine. Number one, you must be able to get a clear-cut objective of what you want your faith to do. Faith is real, folks. Hebrews 11:1.
Now faith is a substance.
Now if you're going to read for me, you got to put something in. I ain't going to have no deadhead readers for me. Boy, I tell it, ain't it? He's my friend. I just talked to my friends that way. All right, now faith
is a substance.
Hey, that's it. Is the substance. It is something that is real and tangible. Hallelujah. I heard a man one time say that faith is reaching out and taking a hold of nothing and holding on to it till it becomes something. Now, I guess that sounds all right. It'll probably preach pretty good. But I don't believe that faith is reaching out and getting a hold of nothing. The Bible said it is the substance. Glory. It's just as real before you get it as it is when you get it. Some way or another, we have got to have more than a vague idea of what we want from God. Glory. Any of y'all like mayonnaise? It's mayonnaise out in California, but it's mayonnaise in Louisiana. For y'all's sake, I'll call it mayonnaise. Did you know that you can take a tablespoonful of mayonnaise and get you a whole loaf of bread, and you can spread that mayonnaise so thin that you won't hardly know that you've even got any mayonnaise on that bread? But you could take that same tablespoon full of mayonnaise and put the whole thing in your mouth and it'll nearly choke you to death. You know what happens sometime when we try to use our faith? We spread it so thin. We spread it so thin. We cover everything from Timbuktu to Kalamazoo. We cover it all with our faith, and we spread it so thin until we don't have enough faith for anything. But I want to tell you something. If you really want something from God, you get that faith and zero it in on the one thing that you want from God. Hallelujah. Zero it in. You can sing that old song, Jesus on the main line telling what you want, until you fall out. One night my wife was sitting at a piano in a place where we was preaching, and we started singing that chorus, and she is playing it and singing along with me. And after a while, it dawned on her that I'm singing Jesus on the main line, telling what he wants, and I've sung about if you want a blessing, if you want this, if you want that, but said I never did tell him what I wanted. So I sung the song and didn't get a thing because I never did tell him what I wanted. I believe it's time for you to make up your mind what you want God to do, and then zero in on it and believe God for that one thing. Hallelujah! I was reading somewhere the other day, and they said that there is over 8,000 promises that's incorporated in the Word of God. So when you come to God and said, Lord, give me one of your promises, which one of the 8,000 do you want? Glory. We had a fellow down in Bay City, Texas, when I was pastoring there years ago. He'd go to the church every night that we had church. He'd go an hour to 2 hours early, and he'd go upstairs in the men's prayer room, and he'd get down, and for an hour or 2 hours, all he would ever say is, dear Lord, 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 dear Lord. I'm not lying, that's what he did. He never said anything but just, dear Lord, dear Lord, dear Lord, dear Lord. How many of y'all have got children? I'm not trying to trick you. Let's vote a little bit. How many of you got children? You haven't? Would you raise your hand if you don't have children or do have children? Raise your hand if you do have children. Would you raise your hand if you do have children? Now, if you don't have children, you are telling me by leaving your hand down, you ain't got none. How many of you got more than one? Bunch of you. Okay. You ever had your children come to you? Let me talk to you ladies a minute. Mama! Or mother, whichever they call it. And you say, huh? Mother! Huh? Mother! Huh? Mother! Does that sound kind of... Yeah? Was mine the only one that did that? Did y'all do that? Mother! And after a while, the mama gets as far as she can stand it, and she said, what do you want? I've answered you every time. Sometimes our prayer meetings turn out like that. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, huh? Oh, Lord. What? Lord, what do you want? I've answered you every time. What do you want me to do? Glory. I got scripture for that. Jesus. 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 Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, have mercy on me. So finally, Jesus stopped, said, bring him here. Hallelujah. Bring him here. Brother Cass, get that brother there and bring him here. He's going to be part of me. Bring him here. I heard you way down the road hollering Jesus. I heard you saying, have mercy on me. I got over 8,000 things I could do for you and have mercy. But what do you want me to do?
Lord, just give me my sight.
Zeroed in on the one thing that he wanted Jesus to do. And when he centered his faith on that one thing, he went home with his eyes open, shouting the victory because Jesus has honored his faith. Cry and holler and scream, have mercy, oh God, but he's just standing right by your side saying, tell me what you want, tell me what you want, tell me what you're going to believe me for, tell me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some time ago, I came across a book that was written by a Korean preacher. He's supposed to pastor the largest church in the world. I think 80,000 members at the time he wrote the book. And he told a little thing that happened in his early ministry. Said he was pastoring just a little small work in Korea. And said he was living in just a room, didn't have any furniture in it. Pastoring a little small congregation. So one day he was down praying. And he got a hold of the Lord's attention. And the Lord said, what do you want? He said, well, Lord, I'm a preacher. And I'm interested in your work. I'm not going to ask anything from me. But I do need some things to work for you. And he said, God, I'm asking you for a desk and a chair and a bicycle. I need a desk to study on. I need a bicycle to ride to visit what few people I got and try to win souls. And I need a chair to sit down at my desk. And Lord, that's all I'm asking for. He said he got up from prayer feeling real good. Lord said, what do you want? He told him. He said he waited. But no desk. No chair. No bicycle. He waited. Said one day he got down praying and felt like he was in the presence of the Lord again. And he said, now Lord, he said, you asked me what I wanted, and I told you that I wanted a chair and a desk and a bicycle. Now, God, why hadn't you give it to me? He said the Lord spoke back to him and said, well, there's a whole lot of different kind of desks. You didn't tell me the kind you want. He said, there's a lot of different kind of chairs. He said, you didn't tell me the kind you want. And he said, there's a lot of places make bicycles. You didn't tell me the kind you wanted. I didn't know what to give you. I'm talking about zeroing in on what you want God to do for you. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! So he said, okay, God, if I'm going, I'm going first class. He said, I want a Philippine mahogany desk. I want a chair that's metal and got wheels on it so I can swivel around and be like a big shot. And he said, I want an American-made bicycle because they make the best bicycles going. Well, that fixes it up. So, he named it out. Now you just hold on right there and I'll come back to that after a while. Number one, you must zero in on what you want God to do for you. The next thing you've got to do, and this is important, you must, everybody say must, you must have a burning desire for it. Everybody say burning. Burning desire. An on fire desire. Not just a half-hearted wishing thing, but there's got to be a real, honest-to-goodness desire for it. A few weeks ago, I was praying about my church. I've been gone so much from it, Lord bless their darling hearts, they don't hardly even know they got a pastor. But I done promised them I'm going to stay home some more next year. But I got under a burden for the church, and I got to study in this, and I said, well, Lord, if I can't practice it myself, there's no use in preaching it. So I said, now God, I want 10 men. That's not many. I didn't ask anything outlandish. I said, I want 10 men in my church by Easter. Hallelujah. I don't have a revival schedule, but I asked God to give me 10 men. I told the church, I said, I want you to pray with me. I have zeroed in. I want 10 men. They don't have to be new men. They can be backsliders. I didn't make any specifications as to who they were or what color they were or what nationality they were or anything about it. I just said, I want 10 men by Easter. That was just 2 weeks ago. Would you believe Sunday night, last night, it was last night, right? Last night, we prayed through and I baptized the fifth man. Hallelujah. And I still got plum to Easter to go. I feel pretty sure we can get that other five. Hallelujah. But you see, I had to have more than just a passing fancy for it. I had to have more than just wishing and hoping. I had to have a burning desire. Hallelujah. Get up there in that microphone, Brother Elms, and read Proverbs chapter 10, verse 24.
The fear of the wicked.
The fear of the wicked.
It shall come upon him.
It shall come upon him.
You know,
Job said, the thing that I feared has come on me. You can get so low in your spirit that you can live in such a state of fear. Lord, I'm scared I'm going to be sick. Lord, I'm scared I'm going to backslide. I get so sick of people waking up every morning talking about when they're going to backslide. Well, you spend some people playing it out. Boy, this is my day to backslide. This is my day to fall by the wayside. I just can't make it another day. Friend, let me tell you something. You need to zero in on a walk with God and get up every morning and say, bless God, I'm going to make it today. I'm going to talk in tongues today. I'm going to shout today. I'm going to love God today. Hallelujah. Fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him. Now read. But the desire
of the righteous.
Ooh. The desire of the righteous
shall be granted.
Shall be granted. Now, don't pull that scripture out and isolate it by itself now and just put a little part of it. Put the whole thing there. The desire of the righteous. Shall be granted. A burning desire. I got to have a burning desire. Psalms 37:4. Everybody said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I agree.
Delight thyself.
Delight thyself.
Also in the Lord.
Also in the Lord. Get happy in the Lord. Get happy in the Lord. Glory, get excited about God. Glory to God. Be happy in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord. Did you know, now listen to me, did you know that praise is the highest, most powerful form of prayer? Now chew on that a little bit. I said praise is the highest, most powerful form of prayer. Because you see, praise is prayer mixed with faith. Years ago, old Brother Urshan, Brother Andrew Urshan, you all know him. He preached for me when I was pastoring in Bay City, Texas. In fact, he passed away while he was preaching for us. One day we were sitting at the dinner table, and he wanted some bread. And he said, thank you for the bread, please. I thought I'd be real cute. And I said, ha, ha, ha. I hadn't passed it yet. He said, but you're going to. And I'm thanking you in advance for what you're going to do. Did you believe I passed in that grace? You believe I passed in that grace? Brother, I wouldn't have let him down for nothing in the world because he had already thanked me for it. He had such faith in me, he believed I was going to pass him the bread and he thanked me for it before I ever passed it to him. Oh. Am I coming through? Do you find out what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. I believe we can have faith in God and we can thank him for what he's done before he even does it. Now I know I'm crossing some of your wires because when I got a hold of this, it crossed mine. Because I had always preached. You know, don't claim nothing you hadn't got. Well, there's not a lick of faith in that. If you've already got it, there's no faith in it. Amen. The Bible says that. Maybe not in those exact words, but it means that. If you've already got it, then you don't need to have faith for it. Hallelujah. Amen. And somebody said, praise the Lord. But you see, I believe that we can reach out. The righteous can have that burning desire. And before it ever happens, they can begin to praise God for it. Glory. Glory. Years ago, back in 1960, if I remember right, I was in the hospital in New Orleans, Louisiana, to have surgery on my hip. And I got out of the hospital on a pass to go to the Louisiana camp meeting, especially so Brother C.W. Barnes could pray for me. I went on the campground, went up to the front, and Brother Barnes was praying for the sick, and I walked up there and I said, Brother Barnes, I have a lot of faith in you and God, and I want you to pray for me. Well, I didn't get my healing, but I got something that were worth more than my healing. Because if I'd have got my healing, it would have probably just blessed me. But what I got that night from him, I hope is going to bless you tonight. Now listen to me. He said, Brother Johnson, when I pray for you, he said, I don't want you to think about yourself as you are. I want you to see yourself as you desire to be. I was crippled out. I couldn't hardly walk. But as I closed my eyes, I saw something different. I saw that old cane gone. I saw me walking. I saw me running. I saw me skipping across the platform. I saw that. That was what I desired to be. Hallelujah. It didn't happen that night. It didn't happen that week. It didn't happen that year. In fact, it was 18 years later. And now it's been about 20 or 22 years. But let me tell you something. Look at me. Glory. Hallelujah. Watch me now. Watch me now. Watch me now. Hallelujah. Not as I was, but as I desired. As I desired to be. Hallelujah. Psalms 27:4.
One thing.
One thing. There it is again. One thing. The psalmist zeroed in, Brother Price, on one thing. One thing. One thing. Read.
One thing.
One thing have I
desired of the Lord.
Desired. Now this tells me that it has been a lasting desire. It's not something that he desired one time and got it. It's something that he lived with. It's something that stayed with him. It's something that he matured to. He said, this one thing have I desired of the Lord.
Yes.
Read.
That will I seek out.
I haven't got it yet, but it's still burning. It's still burning. I haven't got it yet, but it's still burning. Let's go back to that desk and that chair and that bicycle. He didn't get it. Even when he told God he wanted a Philippine mahogany and a metal one with wheels on it and an American-made bicycle, he still didn't get it. So he read a scripture in Romans chapter, what did I get?
4:17.
He read this scripture.
As it is written.
As it is written.
I have made thee a father of many nations.
I have made thee a father of many nations.
Before him whom he believed.
Before him who he believed.
Even God.
Even God.
Who quickeneth the dead.
Who quickeneth the dead. Now, here's something I want you to think about now. You see, it don't take much faith when you've got faith in God. Now, if you're going to have faith in man, it takes a bunch of it. If you're going to have faith in things, it takes a bunch of faith. If you're going to have faith in evolution, it takes a bunch of faith. But oh, if you're going to have faith in God, in the one that quickeneth the dead, in the one that raises the dead, if you're going to have faith in him, you don't have to have much. You just have a little bit and that'll turn him on.
All right.
So I said, even God, who quickeneth the dead,
and calleth those things,
and calls those things,
Which be not. As though they were.
They're not there. But I'm calling them just like they were there.
Oh,
so he went to church that night. And he got up before his little congregation. And he said, by the blessings of God, and I think I'm quoting him. He said, by the blessings of God, I have a Philippine mahogany desk, I have a metal chair with wheels on it, and I have an American-made bicycle. So at the church, that little old church was so excited, they came up to him, and they said, we want to see it. That sounds almost like California, 1980. We want to see it. We want to see it. When you see it, you don't have faith no more. You've already got it. So, there wasn't nothing for him to do, but said, okay, come to the house. So, he led him to the house. He opened the door to his one room, and they looked in there, and it was bare. They said, where's your desk? Where's your chair? Where's your bicycle? He said, let me ask you some questions, and you answer them, and then I'll answer yours. Now follow me close. He said, where were you before you were born? He said, well, we were in our mother's womb. He said, what were you doing there? And they said, we were growing. He said, did anybody see you? No. Oh. And so they left and they went and told everybody that they had the only pastor in Korea that was pregnant with a desk and a chair and a Bible. I want you to know, and that may be crude, and if it were too crude, please forgive me, but it said what I want to say. I want you to know that the church is pregnant in the womb of faith with many great things from God. They're there. This church was in the womb of faith of Brother Von Martin and this congregation before there was ever a bucket of cement poured.
Right. Where's your new church?
It's in the womb of faith. Hallelujah. Brother, I want to tell you something. We better have a union with God and become pregnant with revival, with Sunday school growth, with enthusiasm, with excitement. And even if we can't see it, we've got to believe God and speak as though it were even before we get it.
Next thing, number three, and
I'm watching the clock so y'all don't have to. You must pray. You must pray until you have assurance. I believe God can assure us. Hallelujah. Let me indulge a little bit more in my own personal experience. Paul did it, so I think I could do a little bit. When I was 17 years old, one night in a service in Oakdale, Louisiana, our pastor's wife, Sister Maud LaFleur, was leading the praise service. Testimony service, we called it. The power of God began to fall, and all of a sudden she fell like a dead woman behind the pulpit and lay there for 4 solid hours as though she were dead. You could barely see her breathing. I was sitting on the front pew on the left-hand side from the pulpit. And God called me to preach. And for I don't know how long, I preached in tongues. But I was so shy and bashful and backward. It wasn't enough. And for 2 years, I fought against God. Because I was not yet assured that was really what God wanted us to do. In 1949, when I was 19 years old, I just turned 19, I had already risen in a short time to be the traffic manager over a chemical plant there in my hometown. A good job for a young boy. I was sitting at my typewriter one day, typing some bills of lading and running some weight sheets. And all of a sudden, that typewriter vanished from my view. My adding machine faded out of the picture. And all of a sudden, I was in a huge auditorium preaching a sermon. Hallelujah. I finished preaching the sermon. I gave the altar call, and hundreds of people in that vision, I guess is what you'd call it, hundreds of people came down the aisle. A few days later, I resigned my job. That was my assurance. I prayed till I got my assurance. January the 15th, I started my first revival as a full-time evangelist. Big auditorium, Batson, Texas. That's close to Sour Lake. And that's close to Dayzetta. And that's pretty close to Trinity. Now, you know where it is? It was in the backwoods of nowhere. Big church? No, a little country community. Hundreds coming to the altar? There wasn't too many hundred in the community. But I had my church. That year? No. Next year? No. From 1949. To 1967, what's that, 18 years? No thousands to preach to. But that year I was called to preach at the General Conference in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Preached the sermon there, thousands of people, but no hundreds in the altar. In fact, I didn't even get to give an altar call. I preached about 20, 30 minutes. The power of God got to fall, and people started getting the Holy Ghost, getting healed. We didn't even have an altar call. The next year, I preached a camp meeting in Louisiana, my home district. I had forgot about my assurance. It had been so long since I got my assurance that I forgot about it. But I stood before that huge congregation. Anywhere from 5,000 to 10,000 people. It's all according to who was guessing. But anyway, there were thousands of people there. A huge auditorium. I preached my sermon. Hundreds got up and came to the altar. And that week, 245 received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. 18 years later, but that assurance still worked. It still worked. It still worked. Hallelujah. You pray. You pray until you get full assurance. And then you speak to show the evidence of your faith. I've prayed for people, Brother Price, and God healed. And I knew God healed. And after I got through praying for the sick, I'd say, anybody want to testify and tell what God's done for you? And that individual sat tombstone still. Not say a word. I'd get a little perturbed aggravated or mad, whatever you want to call it. And I'd go to him and I'd say, now look, I prayed for you and God healed you. Why didn't you testify about it? Well, I just thought I'd wait a while and see for sure if it was done. Didn't want to claim something I didn't have. There's not one lick of faith in that. Not one lick of faith in it. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. I've had people come up to me when I was so sick and couldn't hardly walk. And they'd say, how you doing, Brother Johnson? I'd say, great man, great. And then I'd hobble off on my cane. You lying rascal. I wasn't lying. I was talking through faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, Brother Elms, my church is in revival. It is. How many is praying through? Not too many, but Brother, I'm in revival. Faith is talking. Faith is talking. Hallelujah. Man, we're having people get the Holy Ghost every time you turn around. Where are they? You speak of the things that are not as though they are. I'm talking about the things that you have zeroed in on. I'm talking about the things that you have a burning desire for. I'm talking about the things that you have prayed until you got full assurance. Then talk about them as though they already were. About 1 o'clock in the morning, my phone rang. Center man called me. Brother Johnson, my wife is terribly sick. Could you please come pray? Yes, sir. I got in my car. I took off over there. I got about a half a block from home, and I thought about my oil. I want to do it just like the Bible says, so I went back and got my oil. Now, I don't believe you have to anoint with oil to get people healed. I've seen people healed without anointing with oil. But that night, I felt impressed to take off. I went back home and got it. I started driving across town. I crossed over a little creek. And just as sure as I'm here, I had already been praying. I had a desire to see her healed. But when I crossed that creek, I got a full assurance. When you pray for her, I'm going to heal her instantly. Full assurance. When you get that full assurance, you can start talking of the things that are not as though they are. You say you got scripture for that? Yes, sir. The Bible said, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if I've got the mind of Christ and I'm thinking like Christ, then when I get the full assurance of what he has said, then I can speak of the things that are not as though they are. I turned in the drive. The front porch light was on. I got out, walked up the steps, knocked on the door. He opened the door. Hardly before I knocked. He said, come in. Where's your wife? She's in the back room. Lead the way. He led the way to the back room. Brother Webb, when that door opened and I looked in there, that woman, I do not know what was wrong with her. I don't have the slightest idea. But that woman was literally bouncing on that bed. Just bouncing. Sometimes it seemed like she had come off that bed 4 to 6 inches, and I don't think I'm exaggerating at all. I took a couple of steps in that room and walked over by the bed, and I said, Sister Littleton, I'm going to pray for you, and when I do, God is going to heal you instantly. Glory. The devil, I don't know if he jumped on my shoulder or jumped all over me. He said, boy, I thought you were smarter than that. You've got out on a limb many a time, but you've always left the way back to the tree. But this time you out on a limb and there ain't no way back to the tree. That man's a sinner. If she don't get healed, he'll never believe a word you say the next time. You know what that did, Sister Gazowski? It stirred up my faith a little more. And just to make the devil mad, I said it again. Sister Littleton, did you hear me? When I pray for you, God's going to heal you instantly. She's just a-bouncing on that bed. I got that little old bottle of oil. Unscrew the cap off of it. Touch my finger to it. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. She fell back on that bed like I'd hit her in the head with a sledgehammer. Hallelujah. Then she opened her eyes and said, I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. Friend, when you get the assurance, it's time to start expressing that faith in God and believe that it's going to happen. Mark 16:17. Come here, brother. Come here, brother. You too. Brother Bagman, come here. Hello. 1980. Fresno, California. Mark 16:17.
And these signs?
And these signs
shall follow.
Shall follow.
Them that believe.
Them that believe.
In my name?
No, that's not. I'm the believer. These are my signs. 1980. Take off. Just go where you want to go. This is 1980. Amen. Want signs? I'm following you. That's what we want to do. We want to follow the signs. Show me some people getting the Holy Ghost. Show me some people getting baptized. Show me some people getting healed. Show me some people talking in tongues. And then I'll follow it. That ain't what the Bible says. The Bible didn't say that the believer would follow the signs. The Bible said that the signs shall follow the believer. There's going to be healing. There's going to be revival. There's going to be moving of the Spirit of God. The signs follow the believer. They follow the believer. Listen to me. We're not going to spread this thing thin tonight. I want you to make up your mind right now. What do you want God to do for you in this service? Not tomorrow, in this service. I'm through preaching. But I want to know, what do you want God to do for you right now? Zero in on it. Have a burning desire for it. Pray for assurance that it's going to happen. Hallelujah. Now, come on, let it happen right now. Glory! Now, listen. I'm going to pray. I'm fixing to pray. And I'm going to try to avoid saying the name of Jesus until I've prayed for the sick, until I've prayed for you that is discouraged, you that need a touch from God, you that need the Holy Ghost, and then in the end of my prayer, I'm going to speak the name of Jesus. And when I speak that name, if you will believe God, there is power in the name of Jesus Christ. Are you ready to believe God? Zero in on what you want now. God, we're coming to you believing that you are the healer, that you're the deliverer, that you're the savior, believing that you can do everything and there's nothing that's too hard for you to do. And I'm asking you, Lord, to reach out tonight, lay your hand upon the sick, bless those that need a blessing, fill those that need the Holy Ghost. God, I'm asking you, and I'm believing that you're going to do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Accepted by faith. Accepted by faith.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's keep right on believing Him. Oh, Jesus, I believe you tonight. I know what I want, and I want you to help me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Praise God. And some, you feel your need right now, so you'd like to move forward and believe God. Just do it right now. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let your faith just reach out to Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.